He is Representative Kevin Brady, member of the United States House of Representatives for the 8th Congressional District of Texas, and the ranking member on the House Ways and Means Committee. Kevin Brady, welcome to Breitbart News Sunday.
Joel, how are you doing?
I am very, very well and looking forward to seeing some progress in the economy and hoping these numbers of deaths keep going down in the coronavirus pandemic. So feeling kind of optimistic and hoping the week goes well. And I guess what I have to ask you is how you feel about it, because you always have your finger on the pulse of the economy. You think very carefully about how government policies and tax policy in particular affects the economy. What's your sense of how things are going to go?
Yeah, so Joe, I feel like you do. I think in many of the regions, we're seeing a flat, not all, but in many of them, we're seeing a flattening of that curve. Governors, some, are starting to reopen their economy, and they're doing it while the right way, applying full pressure on the virus, but allowing businesses to reopen safely and in a healthy way for their workers and their customers. I think that's crucial to do both. I don't think it's a choice. We often hear from liberals that it's a case of livelihood over lives. We think you can do both and need to do both because clearly if we don't begin to reopen the economy in a smart way, you know, we're going to hurt a lot of people who are unemployed today with an unnecessarily long extended recession. And we're going to see supply shortages because of supply chains. And there's just a lot of bad things. And so I think it's important. One, I feel as you do, that we can continue to flatten the curve and reopen the economy. Secondly, I think it's really important as we have any discussion about a fourth package. I really think first, let's see how these first 3.5 are doing before we take another step. But I think the same things that got us to the strongest economy in the world through tax reform and balanced regulation, and through tax reform, we said it's important to make work pay, make sure people keep more of what they earn, and that they see their paychecks rising because the economy's strong. We also said, let's give our businesses the ability to compete and win anywhere in the world. And then we incentivize their investment here at home in the U.S. So I think as we look at, is there more that can be done in the economy? We ought to focus on those pro-growth policies that got us to that competitive economy.
All right. Now, we've seen a lot of global effects of this pandemic as well. And early on in the Trump administration, you were talking about border adjustment tax and various kinds of policies that could help the United States regain a competitive edge. But now everything seems completely scrambled with this coronavirus. Even if we get our economy up and running, there are a lot of countries that won't. How important is that to our economy? We're not as dependent on trade as other countries are, but is the global response to this going to be a factor in how quickly we can recover as well?
Yeah, Joel, no question. It will be. 95% of the customers we sell to are outside the United States. We need them to be healthy. Certainly, China has dragged us down economically and from a health standpoint in a significant way. I think we're going to, I'm hopeful, Europe, as they now have been reopening a little ahead of us, can begin to sort of get their feet underneath them economically. Thankfully, our exports, as important as they are, aren't the largest part of our economy. I really think for the U.S., global matters in a big way, demand matters, but recreating the confidence from our businesses to invest and for our families, consumers to begin to buy, again, is really going to be important. I think that having that curve flattened in those healthy and safe workplaces, I think are pretty key to that. And we can do it, by the way. I'm confident that we can reopen this economy in a good, strong way.
Now, are you worried at all about the revenue shortfall with the spending increase? We're seeing the deficit go up, basically. And we don't really have a plan for undoing that once the crisis is over. We've just seen deficits and debts for the last 30, 40 years, really.
Yeah.
What are your feelings about that? We're going to have a crunch here. And is there a way to get over this? Is there a way to get back to a balanced budget, to get back to some sort of fiscal sanity? How do we do it?
The answer is not only is there, we have to. That was crucial before we hit this virus, even more so now with the $2.5 trillion we've sent. Plus, as you know, the Federal Reserve has done trillions of liquidity. So, yeah, We have to get our fiscal house in order. I think it's like any business. You got to grow your revenue, which is what tax reform is doing, growing us to the highest revenues, nearest the highest revenues in American history. But what we haven't been able to do is constrain our growth. That's one thing. We've got to balance those two things out. I don't think either one party can do it by themselves. I think it's going to take both. But there's no question. We have got to begin to connect our revenue to our economic growth, as many states do, including Texas, and gradually not just get us back to a balanced budget, but in Republican budgets, we've always set a goal of paying off our national debt. We need to have that conversation again.
Now, one area that's become a particular concern lately has been state and local governments. And there really is a cash crunch for many of these governments. Now, I would differentiate between states that have mismanaged their funds for quite a long time, like Illinois, for example, where I used to live, and others that are just victims of this crisis. I'm not saying that Illinois doesn't get help. Maybe you don't pay for the pensions in Illinois, but maybe you just keep some of the essential state workers on the payroll. But we are seeing some potential job cuts in state and local government. Here in L.A., the mayor of L.A. started talking about cutting back. We had furloughs, 26-day furlough for city employees, and some of those employees are doing important work. So is there a possibility that Congress will come back with another plan that helps these states? We heard Mitch McConnell talking about maybe having some states in bankruptcy. Does that rule out a bailout for the states? What's going to happen with state and local government?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Joel. So one, I think Leader McConnell was talking about not bailing out the pension funds. I think states are $5.2 trillion in the hole on their pension funds. And I think Leader McConnell was talking about we're not going to have federal taxpayers bailing out those state funds. But I think you're right. Our state and local governments have been on the front lines here. You know, here's the good news. And I don't think the media gives it much attention. Congress has already funded over $700 billion to state and local governments. That's more than we've funded our small businesses. And that's direct aid to state and local government, state unemployment funding, local hospitals, state and local disaster aid, local school funding, state college funding, local mass transit funding. Plus, we muscled up Medicaid 6% to help them through this crisis. And so Congress has made an unbelievable commitment to state and local governments already. The money is just starting to flow to the states, the cities, the smaller communities. And that may be, Joel, why many of them don't know that we've made that commitment. They haven't seen that fund, those funds yet, hit their bank accounts. And so I'd say rather than planning for what more do we need to do, why don't we see how that $700 billion, how far it goes to helping them. And I think like businesses, like the federal government, we're all going to have to tighten our belts because of this. I think local governments make a mistake if they begin tightening their belts by laying off law enforcement, firefighters and emergency personnel. That ought to be the absolute last place they go. But I think let's wait and see how this $700 billion is working and then have that conversation.
So that's very interesting. We have funded or given additional funding to state and local governments already. So they're still cutting, though. It's just odd to me. And I'm just wondering what can be done. We also have some states that just seem unable to get out of this hole. And maybe there is something that can be done in terms of a bankruptcy process. Now, other people have said that would be disastrous. It would lead to federal intervention in state and local government. But I don't know how you fix a state like Illinois. Here in California, we've got our fiscal problems, but people still seem to want to move here because we have nice weather.
Yeah.
You know, well, aside from the Chicago Bears, which is my favorite football team, you know, what do you do if you're Illinois?
Yeah, so these high-tax states, including California, one for the most part, look, they have very dynamic economies. Oftentimes, people like living and working there. They have different types of industries that are some of the world leaders. They just have brutally high taxes. I don't know how people, frankly, can live there. But also, they've driven up their pension funds. I think those pension issues will have to be separated a bit from their budgets. It's hard to do that because they've overcommitted so much on the pension side. But I don't know. I worry. I don't know that the federal taxpayers have enough money ever for the future to be able to bail out those pension funds. I really think that needs to be the responsibility of the states. But in the other issue of the expenses related to the coronavirus, from testing to law enforcement to healthcare to all that, my gut, Joel, is that the $700 billion we've already sent is going to go an awful long way toward them. I just don't think they've seen it yet. And so, you know, they're crying out for more help, but I think, frankly, it's in the pipeline.
Okay, now I have an idea here, and I'm going to exploit the opportunity of having you on the line here to suggest this to you and see what you have
Good.
To say. But my wife and I were talking about this, and I'm actually broadcasting from a room in our house that used to be the guest room but is now the radio studio / home office. We're basically just using it because both of us are working from home, and thank God we still have our jobs, and we're very grateful for it. But we know there used to be this itemized tax deduction for home office expenses, and it was pretty strict. You had to only use that room for your home office. You couldn't just put a computer in there and call it a home office and take the deduction for whatever the expense of that room was going to be. But I'm wondering if there's some prospect of giving people a break in the tax code for this crisis, because so many people are working from home and have to use part of their homes. In many cases, I mean, if you're living in a one-bedroom apartment, you're basically using your entire house to become your office,
right.
And your toddler's walking across the background in your conference calls and that sort of thing. So is there some prospect of perhaps creating some deduction or reviving the deduction to allow people to take a little off their taxes in terms of a home office expense?
So you're the first to mention that. Thanks for that, Joel. I love simplified tax codes. In the House, we really stripped it down to the code to the foundation and built it up, you know, slowly as people looked at what do we need in a 21st century tax code. But at the end of the day, it is still more complicated than we'd like. So just personally, I always hate adding special new credits and deductions to an already complicated code. So having said that, you know, one of the areas that we didn't need in the tax reform after we lowered the taxes was, do you remember we had a sort of a miscellaneous deductions that you could take for issues like that, and also for like truckers on the road or welders who were, you know, spending money, you know, beyond what their per diem was. We had sort of a catch-all deduction that helped, you know, families with those types of miscellaneous types of legitimate deductions like you just described. And we've been asked over the last couple of years to take a look at that again for the welders, the plumbers, the truckers, others, which we began to look at. So maybe we ought to plug in, you know, having a discussion about the costs that families, you know, workers had to undertake. You would hope that the business that they're working for would help offset those costs. But if you're freelance, independent contractor, issues like that, you know, gig economy like you, that's probably not the case. So, yeah, I think that's worth taking a look at.
Well, I'm glad. I hope something comes out of that, because that would help a lot of people. And, you know, if you can't find a way to get it into the tax code, just send us a check. You know, it's the same thing. It'll be fine. We'll be happy with it.
Joe, we're doing that.
Well, let me just ask you one more question before we let you go. And this has been really great discussion, Representative Kevin Brady.
Thank you, sir.
The economy bouncing back. We're going to play this clip a little bit later in the program, but we had Secretary Mnuchin on TV today saying he thinks it's going to bounce back basically in the third quarter. Do you share that feeling, or are we in for the long? Is this going to take a lot longer to rebuild than that?
So I share that feeling. If someone asks, so will our economy be getting better, healing in August and September? My answer is yes, I believe it will. How much? We don't know yet. I think, as you said, this next week or so is going to be very important. But the fact that we are beginning in a smart way to reopen gives me hope that that's the case. We're an amazingly resilient country, and seeing 26 million people jobless in just 5 weeks is stunning. And there's no question there is a lot of headwinds against us. But we're also a country where people accommodate these things amazingly quickly. You know, people, I think, are ready to get back to work. They're ready to begin their life. They want to do it in a safe way, in a healthy way. I think the same businesses that shut down so responsibly when government directed them to can reopen responsibly. And so, yes, I do see our economy getting better in August and September, maybe even a little quicker than that. But some of these issues, energy, some of these areas, yeah, they're going to take a little longer than that. But I think overall, on the recovery, we're talking months, not rather than years, although segments are going to come back a little slower than others.
Representative Kevin Brady has been our guest here on Breitbart News Sunday. We're very pleased to have you and hope to have you back again. Do consider that work from home tax deduction.
Yeah,
I think
that's very interesting. Joel, thank you. I appreciate it.